Before thy throne I stand. In a little while, we'll go to our knees and we'll have the opportunity to pray. And I just wonder, as we sang that song, how many of us can really say, I know that God answers prayer because I've experienced that personally. I don't mean I've heard somebody that prayed and got an answer, or, you know, I prayed, Lord, help me to wake up tomorrow morning, and I did. So I thank God he answers prayer. But I wonder if you've ever prayed anything. I'm not going to ask you what it is or anything about it. But I wonder if you've ever prayed a prayer and you know that it was specifically, miraculously, divinely answered by God. Anybody had that experience ever? That you know, I know my own personal experience. I know that God answers prayer. And again, it's, I know they can be, you know, I have a headache, Lord, take away my headache. I pray and I woke up in the morning, my headache was gone. Chances are your headache would have been gone anyway, and it's not wrong to pray about those things and to bring everything to God in prayer and to thank him if your headache went away the next day. But there are times when nobody else can answer that prayer. Nobody else could help you. There was no hope. You were at the end of your rope and you had to cry out to God, and God answered prayer. And I thank God that he does. And that encourages us, I guess it does, at least it does me, to know that God hears and that God answers. And it doesn't matter that somebody tells me it can't happen and it's not possible and God doesn't answer that way anymore. Well, you know, if he's done it for me, it's either God did it or the devil did it. And I don't think the devil did it. I think God did. And I believe that God can heal those that are sick, because I know on more than one occasion, I know how God touched my body. And I could tell you the time, the hour, the moment. My wife the same way, and she was much worse off than I was at one time in her life. But God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And people that have been really incorrigible, you'd never think that they could ever get saved, because they're too far gone. I had a woman tell me that at church years ago. She prayed for everybody. She had faith for everybody, but she never believed that God could save her husband because he was too far gone. He wasn't a bad man, but he was just steeped in his own religion and he wasn't ever going to change. And she didn't even pray for him because she didn't think that God was too far gone. But God can answer prayer, can save. He can save people from sin. He can heal people in their bodies. He can fill us with the Holy Ghost as we pray and as we ask him. How much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, you know, I'm just thinking that maybe if he says that in the Bible, that it's right for us to ask him. And to ask, as Frank said this morning, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking, and just knock and keep on knocking, and just believe that God will answer that prayer. And yet there are times that we don't even know how to pray as we should. Maybe that's all the time. Your prayer is not just saying the right words at the right time. I guess that's better than nothing, and that's a start. But there's something that the Bible talks about. It's called praying in the Holy Ghost. Because in Romans 8, we read, you don't even know how to pray as you ought. We've been enumerating these days, you know, why do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And you get to the realization that it's because I really don't know how to do anything. I can't even read the Bible and understand it and grasp it apart from the Holy Spirit illumining my heart. I can't pray. No, of course you can pray. Everybody can pray. Just say the right words. But it's not just saying the right words. There's something more to it than that. In Romans 8, it says, you don't know how to pray as you ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. There are times when we don't know what to say, and maybe we can't say, but the Holy Spirit somehow takes up that in us and helps us to pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, we read in Ephesians. And so I want the Lord to help me to pray tonight, to pray as he would want me to pray in faith, believing. And there's an array of things that we need to pray for. And we're thankful that God answers prayer. There's a nice song about prayer that maybe we'd like to sing or you'd like to sing. I'm going to try if my voice holds out. It's number 403. I think most of you know it by memory. We don't even have to open the books to sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Number 403. You know the story about the man that wrote this, Joseph Scriven. Does anybody know his story? Have you heard of him before? Did anybody look up, "I have decided to follow Jesus"? Well, you did. You found that story, Stefan? And yeah, me too. I mean, me too. I knew it, but it was sent to me. Brother Paul looked it up too, and he forwarded what he found on YouTube or Wikipedia, both. And it's quite a story. If you know the story behind the hymns, sometimes the hymns really mean more, I find. And, you know, I'm not a scholar. Sister Edith, we're here tonight. We can go through the whole hymnal, and she'll probably tell us who wrote it and where they lived and how many times they were married and their husbands died or their wives. She knows everything. I don't know everything. I don't know hardly anything. But the little bit that I know about Joseph Scriven, I know that he was born in Ireland. And he grew up there, and I think the Plymouth Brethren had some influence on his life. And he loved the Lord, and he was a really selfless man. You know, we talked the other night about serving the Lord. And Scriven was one who... There's in that list that we find in the Bible of ways to serve the Lord, there's a gift or a ministry of helps. Helps. And Joseph Scriven had that gift. And he helped mostly people that were impoverished, that couldn't help themselves. He would saw their wood for them. They had to pay in those days for having their wood sawn, and people couldn't, and he would saw their wood for nothing. He would feed people that couldn't feed themselves. That was his ministry. But he found a woman that he fell in love with. That happens sometimes. And he was just a young man in his early 20s. And the day before they were to get married, she was riding on horseback to go out to meet him. And the horse got scared of something that ran across the road and bolted. She was thrown into the river that was right next to the trail she was riding on. She hit her head on the rocks. She was knocked unconscious, and within minutes she drowned. This was the day before the wedding. Scriven came there because he was going to meet her there, and he came as well as did some others, and while they were pulling her body out of the water, he saw her. Probably wasn't the best thing for him because it was tragic and heartbreaking. And he couldn't really get away from it for a while, and he continued to look to the Lord. But he got away from Ireland, and he moved to Ontario, Canada. And he continued doing what he had done in Ireland in helping people that were helpless, in doing the best he can to supplement his own income. He was a school teacher or tutor, and he would tutor people, as he got some money, he would support himself and as many other people as he could. And then he, one of the places that he was staying in, and one of the, I guess it was nieces of someone he was tutoring, he fell in love again. And about 25 years of age, he was engaged to be married. And a couple of months before that wedding, she died of pneumonia. You say the man has bad luck. Now, if he came to you and said, would you marry me? You would say no. Like in his Elizabeth Elliot story. Every husband that poor Elizabeth Elliot had, no good. But that was his story. And so again, heartbroken. And you could just imagine. I mean, or maybe you can. It was overwhelming grief. Well, he heard that his mother back in Ireland had gotten sick, and so he wrote some words on a piece of paper. And what he wrote happened to be this song that we're singing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And the other two verses also. He sent them to his mother, and he thought that might be an encouragement to his mother. He hoped it would be, at least. Well, later on, someone was with him in his room and saw scribbled on this piece of paper these lyrics. Asked him what they were, and so he said, "Well, it's something that I felt the Lord gave to me, and it's my story, and I thought it might be able to help my mother." And he didn't think it would go any further than that. I mean, who'd want to sing this song? This song's not that great, not that good. His friend asked if it would be okay if maybe he could find somebody to write some lyrics to it. And they found that man and gave it to him, and they wrote the lyrics for it. They published it, and shortly thereafter, Scriven died. But when I hear the story of him, and Spafford with it as well, with My Soul and many, many others, when I hear the story of the hymns, it really means a lot more to me. When I can know the story of a man like Scriven writing, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere?" He wasn't writing it from a life that didn't know what trouble was or had no problems. But he found that we should never, never be discouraged, because we can take it to the Lord in prayer. We can cast all of our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And, you know, Scriven was human. He was just like you and I are. He felt the grief, the pain and agony of losing his first fiance, his second fiance. But yet somehow he found that there was an open heaven. And no matter what he had to go through and endure in his life, he found that although weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care, we should never be discouraged. We could take it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're not sick, and maybe you're this, that, but maybe just cumbered with a load of cares. Don't be overwhelmed by them. Scriven wasn't. He found that there was an outlet. It's called the mercy seat, the throne of grace, whereby we can find mercy and grace to help in time of need. So if you sing this hymn sometime down the road, maybe you want to just remind yourself of this man and his life and how unfortunate it was, but how he overcame through prayer. Maybe we could start over again and sing it from the very first verse. What a friend we have in Jesus.